Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, we begin Perek Shneim Aser, the 12th Perek of Hilchas Ishes, the Laws of Marriage, which is in Sefer Nashim, the Book of Women, where the Rambam continues, now that we already went from Kedushin to Nisuin, got married, now we talk about the obligations and the rights that the couple has, and specifically an elaboration on the Laws of Mezainis, the obligation for a husband to take care of his wife. Some of the ideas we're going to discuss in the 12th Perek is the Rambam includes 10 things that a husband is obligated to do for his wife, and that she has rights in that. What's called mezainis, her sustenance, maisideha, the money she makes, his rights to that, the father's obligation to feed his minor banav and benaisav, his sons and daughters. What happens if the husband goes l'medina siyam, he goes overseas, if he makes a vow on his wife, or if shenadrihi, if she goes and she makes a vow herself, and his reaction to that. So we begin the halacha aleph, where the Rambam opens up with the obligations of the husband and the rights in their marriage. When a man marries a woman, whether she's a virgin or she's not a virgin, whether she's an adult or a minor, whether she's a Jewish woman or she converted to Judaism, or if she was a maidservant that was freed, be that as it may, now she's a full-fledged Jewish woman, he's obligated in 10 things, and he also has rights in 4 things, as the Rambam continues halacha base. These 10 things, three of them are biblical, and they are she'era, kesusa, vainasa, which is based on the pasuk by the Amavriya that says she'era, kesusa, vainasa, li'igra. What are these 3 things? She'era, this refers to the obligation to feed her. Kesusa is kamashmoy, like the understanding of the word, which means her clothing. Vainasa, it means of a designated time, is lovayla, kederach kalaretz, is to have relations with her the way it normally is, which... It's actually interestingly because although the pasuk is talking about the Amavriya, but the pasuk says Kimishpat Habonis Yasala, which the Mechilta Mishpatim says interestingly, what's it coming to teach us regarding the bonis? It actually sounds like it's coming to teach, but it's actually coming to learn. And we're learning from Amavriya, just like these 3 things, you now let it diminish from the Amavriya that you marry, so too a regular Jewish woman, you have an obligation of fulfilling all these 3 things. Now that's 3 that are biblical. Vashivim and Seifim, and there are 7 things that are rabbinic. Vakulim, Tanoi, Beznehenim, they're all considered stipulations of the courts, which the sages instituted in general. If a man gets married to a woman, that she merits all these things, even if he didn't write this in the Ksub at all, as Rambam is going to explain shortly in Halacha Hey. Ha'echemhem, one of them, of these 7, is Ikr Ksuba, is the primary, we always call the primary document, which is a minimum that for a Ba'ula is a mana, and for a Basula is 200, like we said in the previous parak. And the remaining 6, they're called Tanoi Ksuba, the stipulations of the dowry document. And they are the following 6 things. Lira Poisim Chalsa, to heal her if she becomes ill. V'lavdeisim Nishbis, to redeem her if she is taken as a captive. L'kavre Emesa, to bury her if she dies. V'lis Nizenzman Chalsa, that she gets provided for her needs of sustenance from his estate. V'yeshevs Bevesa Achar Moisa Kozman Almanusa, as long as she's a widow and she has not gotten remarried, that she is still in his house after he dies, that and Veliz b'niseha mimenu, and also that her daughters that she has from him, nizaynis b'nechasav achi meisei, that they get fed from his estate after he dies, acha tisarasna, until she gets engaged. Once either her or daughter gets engaged, then she's not in the property anymore, but as long as they didn't, when he dies, that they get fed from the estate, and Veliz b'neha schar mimenu, and also, the final thing is, that her male sons are Yershin Kesubah, so they inherit her Kesubah, Yisrael Chelkem Beirusha Shemachem, which is if the mother's out of the picture, the mother dies. So the Kesubah, what's going to happen is that her children are going to, her sons, when the father dies, then they split the whole estate, but that her children get her Kesubah more than the rest of the inheritance that they're splitting with the brothers, when there's many different wives. So the father's estate is going to the children and dividing it. However, there are certain parts that are allocated specifically, which is the mother's ksubas. That's the final tnai of the ksuba. Ksubas bin indichrin, that the male sons, they get that inheritance of the mother's ksuba. So those are the 10 things that the woman gets. Halacha gimel, says the Ram, v'abba shazichem. Now there's 4 things that are the husband's privileges that he merits in. And kulim de b'sef from the old rabbinic law. Ve'ilhem, and they are liyas maisi der shaloi, that her handiwork, what she earns, which that's whatever the custom of the place is, which would be the minimum obligation, it goes to him. Second of all, when she finds something, she has a windfall, that find goes to him. Third of all, v'shia oichel kol peres nechasah, that he consumes all the produce, all the benefits of her estate b'chayah when she's still alive. And v'meisa b'chayav, and if she dies when he's still alive, yirushena, that he then goes and inherits it. And b'hu kaid m'chalad b'yirusha, he actually comes first from all her inheritors, her father, her whatever, her relatives. He's the first one there. Those are the four things that he has rights in when he gets married. Now, Dalid, v'oy tiknucham, says Ram, and additionally, the Chum instituted that, okay, so we said she has rights, he has rights. They create a parallel. Shiyu maisi yedeha isha, that the income, the wages, the handiwork of the woman should be connected mizayin nesel, should correlate to the food, to the sustenance that she's getting from her husband. Meaning, since he's providing for her, so she now has to give the income that she makes so that there shouldn't be what's called eva, which is enmity. He says, I'm providing for you and you're making money and you're getting to keep it. So the money she makes goes to the husband. I will explain shortly why that's important. Ufidyayna, the fact that he has to redeem her from captivity, is kenegad achilas peres nechasah. That correlates to what we said, is something that he gets the rights, that he gets the benefits of her estate. Ukfarasa, this that he has to bury her, is kenegad yirushasai, is correlates to his inheritance of her estate, luksubasa, that we said is put into the ksuba. Now, lefikach, therefore, that's the important thing. Since the primary rabbinic institution was for her benefit, because it all started off, since they initially made that she gets mezainas, so then they subsequently said, okay, so he'll get the ma'aseh dayim because of Eva, because it's a double standard. So therefore, Imamri, if the woman says, "Ein in mezainas, don't worry, I'm not going to eat from your table. Ve'eini aisa, and therefore you're not going to get the money that I make, because she makes way more than he provides for her. Shaymala, we listen to her. Ve'ein kaibas, we don't force her to say, no, you got to go ahead and give the income and then he'll provide. Because it's about her. But Mama Habab, let's say the other way around. Let's say the husband says, "Ein izanach, look, I'm not going to provide for you. I'm not going to take the money that you make." No, ein shemla, then we don't listen to him. Shemla yisapkula ma'isidab is anisam. Maybe the amount that she makes, her wages, is not going to be enough to provide for her. And the same thing applies to all the other ones about redeeming her or about burying her. And because of this institution, of that there's a parallel of her handiwork correlating to the mezainis, that's why sustenance is considered one of the stipulations of the ksuba document, because the Rambam is saying a chiddush over here. Although the Rambam said in Halacha Beis that she'era, which is mezainis, which is sustenance, is from biblical law, so then it's not from the stipulation of the ksuba. No, it is going to have, as we'll see, there's significance if a woman's not going to get a ksuba and all its stipulations. Mezainis is considered part of that because this takana, which correlates it with her ma'aseh yedayim, so therefore it's now included in rabbinic law, so mezainis is considered now as one of the stipulations of a ksuba document, and again we said that she gets to choose because the halacha was, the takan zacham was for her. She could say, I don't want the takan zacham, but him, that's his, he has an obligation, he doesn't get a right to pull out of that. The halacha, hey, kol advar ma'ilu, all these things that we spoke about, ava bishlei nechtu b'shtar ha'ksuba, even if it's not written in the ksuba document, mafil le'kasim ksuba, even if it didn't write in ksuba, they just got married. But once they got married, he merits his four privileges. She gets her 10 privileges. They don't have to go ahead and specify. And it's automatically going to happen. And all these items that we spoke about, these 10 things, and he gets four, this is actually what the Rambam is going to discuss all the way to the end of Perek Chav Gimel. Here he just mentioned the ideas about them, and as it relates to different claims, and how to qualify it, but all these things that are going to be discussed in future parakim regarding their exact parameters. Now the Rambam moves on halacha vav to stipulations regarding these rights and obligations. Says the Rambam halacha vav hisna habal. Let's say the husband stipulates shelo yischayev be'echem adram shuchaben, that he doesn't want to be obligated in one of the things that, like we said, is an automatic obligation. Oy or shehisna isha. Let's say the woman, she makes a condition, that he's not going to get the privilege to one of the things that generally he does. So it's not kind. So the stipulation is valid, even regarding two biblical ones, regarding food and regarding clothing, because regarding monetary law, a person actually could make a stipulation in contrast to what the Torah says, because money could be forgiven. So it's not considered a contradiction to the Torah. Chutz mishleish dvarim, except for three things. Sheina tanai ma'ilam, where conditions are not going to help. Because v'cholam asna leim tanai batla. Whoever makes a stipulation regarding it, the stipulation is void, and whatever was done, and just like the stipulation wasn't there. Behelahim, and they are a nasa, his conjugal, the conjugal rights, which is the obligation for the man to be intimate with his wife. The ikuk subasa, the primary idea about the basic amount of a ksuba. The rishasa, and the inheriting, as Ram explains. Ketzad in halacha zayin says, how so? Hisnei me'isha, if he stipulates with a woman, she'enala alav oina, that she doesn't have any rights on him, that he's going to be obligated at certain times to be intimate with her. T'na'i batal. The stipulation is void. The chayiv by nasa, and he's going to be obligated in the oina. Shari hisna mashakaz b'tayra. This is the concept known as he stipulated in contrast to what the Torah said, the intimate moment. And additionally, in contrast to the she'er and the ksuz, it's not regarding monetary loss, so she can't be meichel, it's a tzar haguf. So therefore, you got married, and the tonight is batal, and therefore, there's no such thing, he still has to give her her oina. Halacha ches. Hisna yima, the other of the three things, hisna yima lifches meikur ksuba. Let's say he stipulated with her that, okay, let's get married, but I'm not going to give you, I'm going to give you less than what the primary, basic, minimum ksuba is. Or let's say shekasul lamasayim. Let's say, no, he wrote for her the 200 that he's obligated, or meya, or the 100, let's say she's a b'ula, of ikur ksuba, the primary ksuba. But v'chasvalai, they did like a trick. She writes to him, oh, I already received this amount from him. Like, as if he's giving it, but she already got it, which he's not really giving her anything. As Rambam says, but she really didn't get anything. No, t'nai batal, the condition is void. And the reason is, although they're writing it, and technically you would think, oh, it would fit into the halachic framework. No, because here it's based on psychology. If he's giving her ultimately the end, as a basula, less than 200, and as a widow, less than 100, so that cohabitation is considered promiscuous relationships. Why? Why did the Chum make this whole idea of ksuba? That he shouldn't just on a whim get rid of her because of this financial obligations, that there's leverage on that. Now, if he's giving her less than the basic ksuba, so it's very easy to get rid of her. So it comes out that it's considered, the bia is not really considered like a marital relationship because she knows that he could just get rid of her and she never feels safe and comfortable. So therefore, it's like just having znus with him. Oh, so actually now, interestingly, says the Lecha Mishnah, it becomes like not a davar shebemamon, it becomes a davar shebeisser. A davar shebeisser, you cannot make a stipulation in contrast to what the Torah says, because chol masna mashakaz b'Torah in yochel isanis. So therefore, that's why the condition is going to be void in this case. Halacha test, the Ram now goes on to the third one. His nima, he stipulates with her, that achar shenasa, that after he marries her, shlo yirushana, that he's not going to inherit her. So then, tonight batal. So the stipulation is going to be void. Now, in contrast, if let's say before he married her, then he can make whatever conditions he wants to make. Because regarding inheritance that comes to a person not from a direct, from his family, he could stipulate that he doesn't want to inherit something before he's able to have that inheritance, before he was even eligible, which before he's married, he just has no rights in her. So we're talking about here where he made the stipulation after he married her that he's not going to inherit her. So that condition is void. And it says the Rambam, although the inheritance of the husband from his wife, that rights, that inheritance that he gets is only rabbinic, so you would think that the stipulation would be valid on the biblical level. No, the rabbis strengthened their words like biblical law, and v'chol tnei should be Yerusha, any stipulation regarding inheritance is batal, is void. Although it's monetary, and we said regarding monetary, you could make a stipulation in contrast to the Torah. No, but regarding Yerusha, it says l'chukas mishpat, for a statute of justice, to tell you, as chukka always connotes, as ma'akiv, that it can't change. You cannot make a stipulation in contrast to what the Torah says. Now, b'sharagvam, but all other things, tonight, kayim, the stipulation is valid. Kugoyin, for example, let's say Shehisni Moshe, and Lesher Kusus. He stipulates that she's not going to get food from him, she's not going to get clothing from him. Amanashaleichel Peres Nechasel, that he's not going to eat, he's not going to eat the produce of her estate. Anything like that, tonight, kayim. Then we said that the stipulation is going to be valid, but regarding these three things, which Ram just delineated, those things regarding her aina, regarding that of the primary ksuba, and his inheriting her, that, again, when he already had the eligibility, when he already got married, that he cannot stipulate on those three things, and the tnai is going to be bought. Halacha yud, now the Rambam continues regarding the qualification of this obligation that he has to feed his wife. Says the Rambam, halacha yud, kama mezayin nispaisken leisha. Okay, now how much is considered feeding that we designate for a woman that he has to go ahead and provide for her? So says the Rambam, Paiskan lelechem shtei sudas b'chol yom. So we provide, he has to designate for her bread for 2 meals worth every single day, which is sudah beinus al kol adam b'yisir, a medium-sized meal of regular people of that city. Kol adam, like a person she'ina lecheilav legargrin, not a person that's sick, which is not that much, not a person that's glutton, which is a lot, somewhere in the middle. And those are the type of foods that the people of that city eat. And chitim, if they usually eat wheat, chitim, then it's got to be wheat. And if they usually eat barley, so it's got to be barley. So to rice and millet, or whatever types of species that the common custom is for people to eat. Additionally, besides the bread, whether it be wheat, barley, we also designate for her some type of a condiment, which is a type of a dish that's eaten together with bread. Lecha basa pasta, eat the bread with. Could be in kitnis, like legumes, type of beans, or irakas, or vegetables, kitzman, things like that. So to b'shem l'achila, to have oil for eating, and also b'shem l'adlokas aner, oil to also be able to light candles with, uperis and produce, fruits, uma'at yain lishtais, also a little bit of wine to drink, if that was a common custom of the place that women would drink wine, it's only if that was a custom, a little wine to drink. Now regarding Shabbos, not just 2 meals, he has to designate for 3 meals because a woman is also obligated in Shalosh Shudas on Shabbos. Ovasrei dagim kimin gamakam, and also meat and fish if that's the common custom of that place. Now, v'noisin l'bechol Shabbos v'Shabbos mo kesa. He has to give her every single week a ma of silver, which the measurement of a ma is 1/6 of a dinar, which are 32 prutais, l'tzrecha for her needs. Kugain, whether the gears is the next word pruta, but l'kibus, for that of laundering, or the merchats, or for the bathhouse, okay, it's been things like that, that she's got to take care of her needs, that's all included in the obligation of mezainis. Now, halachi yidav, says the Rambam, now, b'medvim, when do we say these things about the amounts that are going to be given to the wife? That's ba'ani shebi yisro, we're talking about the poorest of the Jewish people. That's the bedrock, that's the basic minimum. But if he's wealthy, everything goes according to his wealth. It's on a sliding scale. Even if he has the amount of money that he's able to go ahead and give her many cooked dishes of meat every single day, and then kaifanize it, we force him, give him money, he has to provide for a sustenance according to his financial scale. Now, let's say he's very poor. He can't give the minimum that we said before, even the amount of bread that he has to give her. Then kaifanize, then we force him to divorce her. And obviously he's poor enough, he can't pay for the ksuba. So the ksuba is an outstanding debt on him. Hachat him to be eaten until he can provide, and then pay for the ksuba. But we can't keep her here locked into this marriage where he can't provide even the basic needs for his wife. Now, halacha yud beis. Baal sharatz alikun l'ishtim is in the seharu isla. A husband that wants to give to his wife the appropriate sustenance that's fit for her. V'tiyah cheles v'sheis l'asma. But he wants her that she should eat and drink by herself. V'husheis v'sheis l'asma. He wants to eat and drink by himself. Hershus b'yaday. He has that choice. He has that volition. But as long as he eats together with her, from every Friday night, from week to week, which, interestingly, that's the time when Talmid Chacham and Talmid scholars have marital intimacy with their wives, as the Rambam explains later in Perek Yud Dalet. And because of Oynik Shabbos, that creates the obligation of having intimacy at that time. So every week on Friday night, then he should eat together with his wife. Now, Alach Yud Gimel. So Isha Shapaskal Mazainis. Let's say they designate a certain amount, whatever the type of financial estate he has that they provided for the wife. Vaisiru. Now she has leftovers. Hamais Labal, the leftovers go back to the husband. Now, Hayibala Kain, let's say her husband is a Kain. Now, another condition is Ain Nice Lokama Zainzad Truma. So if the husband's a Kain, so the wife, even if she's not a Bas Kain, she gets to eat Truma like her husband. All the food that he provides for her should not all be Truma. Why? It's very difficult for her to protect so much food from becoming tummy, and truma that becomes tummy is forbidden to be eaten. So this is a big task if everything here is truma. And traditionally she has to eat in a state of purity when her own physical body is pure, because when she's tummy, or when she's a nida, she's forbidden to partake of truma. So you can't give it all truma. Rather, half its chulin, half its truma, and the chulin shall eat in her state of ritual impurity. Now the Rambam moves on now in Halacha Yadalad that providing sustenance for the wife is, when you marry a woman, you're not just getting married to a woman, you're taking on a family because there's going to be children. So Halacha Yadalad, Kshem Shalad Mechayib Mezayin Sister, just like a person obligated in providing sustenance for his wife, Kachu Chayib Mezayin is Banav Benayis Bakadam, so he has to provide for the food for his minor sons and daughters, Achiyu B'nei Sheshon, until they're the age of 6 years old. Now, mekam ve'elach, after that age, machilam ad sheyigdlu, then he provides for them food until they become older. Kitakans chacham, the way the sages instituted, was called takanas usha, which the Sanhedrin, when they were in usha after they had gone in exile from the chamber of units stone to the base of Mikdash, then he has to continue providing according to their stipulations. Now, vimlei rots, let's say he does not want to provide for his children, so goyim boy. So we rebuke him, we disgrace him, we fight him by it, we press him. Now vimlei rots, if he still refuses to, machuidin la batzibah v'ayim, so we make an announcement in public and we say, ployin the achzari hu, this person is a cruel person. Vein ha'ritz lozen banav, he does not want to provide sustenance for his children. V'arei hu pachis me'oif tamei, he's lower than an unkosher bird, shu zanis afreichav, which provides sustenance for its young ones, which even though that non-kosher animal itself is cruel, because that's one of the signs of being a non-kosher animal, that it's darius v'eichel, it pounces on its prey and it eats it like that, he's worse, because they provide for the young and he doesn't. Now, but v'ein kaifin leis lezayin machashesh. But again, after the child is already 6 years old, then, although we're going to make these announcements and so on and so forth, we don't force him after that age, meaning they don't go down to his estate and forcibly take from it. Now, Allah tezavos. But medram, when do we say this, that we don't force him, is be'ishay in the Amid, by a person that's not known to be a wealthy person. Ve'en yidua, it's not known if he's appropriate, that he has enough to give charity or not. So, although we're going to make this whole thing, we're not going to force him. Now, aval mahaya Amid, but if, let's say, he was well known, she'esh le'mam, and that he has money, haroli to men stokah maspekes lem, that he has enough charity even to give that will provide for his children, then we forcibly take money from him to give for his children, mishum tzedakah, simply for the laws of charity. Forget about the fact of his children. From charity laws, we have that right, which, of course, charity starts at home. And then we force him to provide for them until they become older. Another Rambam moves on, halacha tazayim, regarding the husband's obligations to feed his wife, that what happens if he's missing in action? He's not around. Misha halach lemedina acheres. What happens if he goes to another country? Now the wife comes to court to claim that she needs food. The husband's not around. So the first 3 months from the day that he left, we don't designate for her sustenance from the husband's estate. Because there's a presumption, no one leaves his house totally empty. There's stuff in the cupboard, there's stuff in the pantry, there's stuff that's around. So she doesn't have to go ahead and get food yet. After 3 months on, then we designate for her to be provided from the husband's estate, because he has an obligation, although he's not around. Now, if he had assets, so the courts go down to his assets, and they sell it off to provide money for her to get food. This is the sheet of Rambam. We don't go ahead and calculate with her. Okay, so mezainis is correlates to her handiwork. You're working. So, you know, if we're going to give you the mezainis from this estate, you got to give us what you're making. We don't make those calculations. Actually, you have a bala until the husband comes back from his business trip. Im mitzah sha'asasa, if it turns out, then we'll go and do an investigation. It turns out she was working in that time period. Hariel shalai. Then it goes to him because we were giving her the sustenance from his estate. Then her mezainis goes to him. Now, v'chein im loyam debedin. Same thing would apply if, let's say, she didn't come to court to come and claim that she needs sustenance. Rather, on her own, without going to the courts, she sold from his estate. He's not around. She took some stuff and sold it. The mezainis says that she can get food from the grocery. So the sale that she did is valid. Moreover, she doesn't even have to do the announcements, which generally when the courts sell certain things, they make an announcement for many days and out in the public so that people know, so you can get the highest price. She doesn't have to do that. And moreover, v'loy shvua. Neither is there an oath that she would have to swear to say, oh, my husband didn't give me anything. No, she doesn't have to make the announcements when she's selling it. She doesn't have to take an oath. Her sale that she's doing of selling off from the husband's stuff to get food is valid. Until the husband comes and he makes the claim and says, what are you talking about? I left her a bundle of money to get food for to go to the grocery. Or another situation where to have ramification is, after he passed away, and she's coming to claim her ksuba, which is when the marriage dissolves, she gets her ksuba. Then she has to swear that the husband did not leave her anything, as the Rambam is going to say later on, Perek Tazayin. Oh, so once she's swearing over there, Megaginla, then we already devolve on her, which is like a wheel. We add on to the oaths that she's making anyway, also related to this period when the husband is away and she was selling off her stuff from Mezainis, that then she has to swear additionally, that she only sold for food that she needed, and not that she really had other monies and she was just selling off because she wanted to go out and buy other products or whatever other reason she was using the money for. Then she would have to swear then, again, either when the husband comes back or when she has to swear anyway, when he passed away, when she's collecting the ksuba. But again, in the moment, she doesn't have to swear, she doesn't have to make an announcement, she could just sell his stuff and go ahead and the sale is valid. Now, halacha yitzayin. So just like we just said, that the courts sell the husband's assets for the woman's sustenance when the husband had traveled away, so too, we sell his assets to provide for his young children when they're 6 years or younger. He has the same obligations. But if they're older than six, then they don't provide for them from his assets when he's not there. Even if we know him to be a wealthy person. Because, as we explained before, that's why the logic was so important. The only reason why we force him when he's wealthy is because the laws of charity. Now, once he left this country in a clear state of mind, he's not commanded to provide for them, and therefore we can't go to his assets when he's not here, because it's only for tzedakah. Tzedakah, we can't go to someone's estate when he's not here. We can force him when he's here, but not when he's not here. So therefore, when they're over six, even though from the laws of charity he'd be obligated, that doesn't apply when he's not here. So to someone who became mentally deranged. So courts, he's mentally deranged. He's getting psychological help, but he's not mentally sane. So the courts go down to his estate and they sell it, and they provide sustenance for his wife and his young children that are under 6 years old. But again, only under 6 years old because they're not any worse than a person who has that obligation in general, and then they provide for them, including clothing, including all types of the obligations that he has, again, as long as they're under that of 6 years old. Now, halacha yitches is the Rambam. Yesh mina ga'inim shahira, there are certain ga'inim that rule, she'ein peiskin bezainis le'isha shalach ba'al menin sayam, that we don't designate sustenance for a woman, that her husband went overseas, o'ishameis ba'al, or if her husband died, so this is qualifying everything we said up until now, until you have the document of the ksuba that she has in her possession. But if she doesn't provide her ksuba document, then she doesn't get provided from the estate. Why? Maybe she already collected her ksuba from her husband. Maybe she was meichel. She was forgiving. She let him go of ever having to pay her the ksuba. Ah, she'en l'mazoynes. Then she doesn't get provided sustenance. Commercial is bar, like the Rambam is going to explain later on, Perkei Zayin, that if a woman is meichel ksuba to her husband, she loses all the stipulations that come along with the ksuba, which, as we explained, although Mezoyin is actually biblical, as the Rambam had already addressed this earlier, it's considered as one of the Tanoi ksuba. So she's meichel ksuba, including Tanoi ksuba, would include that she wouldn't get Mezoyinus either. So we don't know, so until she provides a ksuba, we don't give her. The Yesh Mishahayr, but those who rule, no, we do provide for her sustenance. Becheskas, with the presumption, until we know otherwise, there is a presumptive state. That she didn't take her and collect her ksuba from her husband. She was not meichlid. And we don't obligate her to bring her ksuba to verify this. And says Rambam v'daiti neitel zeh, and says my opinion is leaning towards that. B'mishalach bal, if the husband went over on a trip, because since biblically, when the husband is still alive, biblically, he's obligated to provide a sustenance, as we said in Halacha Beis. So that shibud is pretty severe, and she gets provided with sustenance with a chazakah that she didn't collect a ksuba yet. Now, that's regarding one of the two cases, which they were talking about two cases, about going overseas or dying. So the Rambam says he agrees with that regarding when he went overseas. Aval meis bal, but if the husband died, in Lamazayas, then she wouldn't get, which is one of the things, when he dies, she and her state of almanas she gets from the state, then she wouldn't get her Mazayas, Achetavik Suba, until she brings the Suba, Mimne Shi Echelis B'dekon Zacham. That's purely from one of the stipulations of the Suba, and therefore, because it's only rabbinic, she would have to prove it. But moreover, another reason why is Shenazayas B'nichse Yershim. Then, when the husband died, she's actually getting provided from the state of the inheritors. So Allah's concept known as Toynin. Although the inheritors don't know any claims against their mother, but we do what's called Toynin. For the inheritors, we always do tell them that we make a claim for them that maybe that she already got paid up. So because we make a claim, she wouldn't be able to get collect until she would be able to verify, which that's the way, until she brings the ksuba, that then she would get mezainis. And therefore, that's the discrepancy, according to the Rambam, between if the husband went overseas, which is biblical, the obligation to feed her, and that if he died, which is only rabbinic. Halacha yitess. Halach bala. Let's say the husband went away on the trip. V'lov savachle. Now here she is, alayin v'ashtayin. What's she going to do? She has no food. So she borrows from a neighbor, and she goes and she buys in the store, and she eats. Kishi yavim, when the husband comes back, she's like, well, you went away for months and months, I had nothing. Chay l'shalmi has to pay up to the person that she borrowed from. Now, but let's say omer echad midas atzma. Let's say someone on his own, someone a very concerned community member, sees here this woman is not making it. He gets up on his own, v'zana mishalai, and on his own, not as alone, he goes and he provides for her. Im yavim habal, when the husband, if he comes back, ein chayv l'shalmi, he does not have to compensate that neighbor. That guy lost his monies. Initially, Tzivolazuna. It didn't command him to feed her. Vahila loves him and she didn't borrow from him. Now, had she borrowed from him with the intent of paying, so he would be able to claim from her, and she'd be able to claim from her husband, he would have to pay it up. But now, he's like paying up someone's debt without his request, which you can't go ahead and collect from the person that you paid up their debt, and therefore it's like what's called Hinich Moisav Akaren Atzvi, it's his loss. Halacha Chaf. Let's say the husband, as he's taking this trip, as he's taking leave of her, he says when he's leaving, you know what? I'm not going to be here to provide for you. I'm going away for a long time. The money that you make, that'll take the place of what I have to provide you for sustenance. And she was silent. She didn't say anything when he was taking leave of her. So Allah is in the mezainis. So she doesn't get provided from his estate. Because if she was not okay with this, she wouldn't be relying on this. So she should have claimed from him that to say that even if I'm going to make money, I don't know if it's going to be sufficient. And she could protest on that. Or she should have said to him, what I'm going to make is not going to be enough. For the fact that she didn't protest, that shtika was kaidah. She was okay with that, and therefore she has no claim, and she can't take from the stage. She has to go ahead and work herself. The Rambam continues halacha chaf aleph with the claims of, I left you. Sustenance. What's this? You're telling the courts and you're getting monies and everything. That I left you. If a woman comes to court, she comes to court, she says, look, my husband's away. Look, there's nothing in the house. And they designate for her monies, for her to get food. And then the court goes and sells from the husband's estate. They give it to her. Or let's say she sells it on her own. And months later, the husband comes back and he says, what are you talking about? I left her food. I left her money for food. So the woman has to swear by holding a holy object like a sefer Torah that he did not leave her monies or foods. Now, let's say loy tava. Let's say there was no claim, loy machra, and no sale. El shah sat shabah. Rather, she waits until he comes back, and huam he says hinachti, I left you stuff. V'yam he says loy hinachta, no, you didn't leave me anything. El lavisi mizev v'nispar nasti. So she never came to court to claim or to sell. We don't know of anything. But he comes back and says, I left. She says, you didn't leave. And you know what happened? Let me tell you. Let me fill you in. I borrowed from that neighbor. And that's how I provided. Now, here, she's making the claim that he should pay back her debt. And he's what's called Kofa Bagal. He's totally denying. What are you talking about? I don't have to pay anything. I left you. So Nishba Shvuas Hasas. So he has to swear what's called a rabbinic oath of Shvuas Hasas, because like any time, what's called Kofa Bakol, when you totally deny a claim, unlike the biblical obligation of Moedim Mitzvahs, where he's biblically exempt from an oath, but the Chum required to make an oath, but it doesn't require holding a Sefer Torah, he has to swear Shein Yichla that he left her food, v'niftin, he'll be exempt, the Yishar HaChevelah, and then the debt is laying with her, and she's going to have to find some way to pay up this neighbor. Again, that's different than because it depends who's claiming from who. In the previous cases, is we already did this, and now he wants to exempt himself. Here it's like, no, we don't know anything. Here she's coming to claim from him, so therefore she's got to, the onus is going to be on her, and again, he could just make a Shavuos Hasas and be exempt. Halach of base. Machr metalton v'amra. Let's say she sells movable items, and she says, I'm selling for my husband's estate, because I need it for food. He claims and he says, what are you talking about? I left you food. So nishbas shvus hesus shalohinir. So here again, it's the other way around. Here he's trying to collect because she already did this already. So she swears a rabbinic oath that he did not leave her because since she could really get out of this by saying that there's nothing here that you want to collect from me because what, you're talking about your lamp or your vacuum, it got lost. She could make claims like that. And she would be exempt from an oath because she'd be totally denying it. So even if she really responds and says, yes, I sold it actually. Oh, you're looking for that table? Oh, I sold it because of food. So she doesn't have to swear with, like a holding an object. Rather, it's like just a generic shavuos heses. V'loy loves her, so she has to swear, so she has to swear that he didn't leave her anything. Now, haray, so it comes out, shloy tava, that if she didn't claim for food, let's say in court, v'loy loves her, and she didn't borrow, v'loy machra, and she didn't sell anything. Rather, Nebuch, she was there pushing herself day and night, waiting until he comes back. And she made money and scraped together something, and that's what she provided. So then she's not going to get anything on him. It's only if she went and she expended. She's not going to get like credit now for the fact that she didn't get provided for sustenance for all that time. Halach of Gimel. The Ram moves on as it relates to a vow in regards to this of Mezainis. Hamadris Ishtay Milahonislay. Let's say a husband takes a vow on his wife, preventing her from getting benefit from him, from his monies, from his estate. Bain Shapirish Adman Plaini, whether he specifies until a certain date. Bain Shalay Perish, whether he doesn't specify, El Sasam, rather he just says unspecific. So Allah is Mamtin Lashlashim. So we give him a time of 30 days. In Tama Yumei Nidra, if the expiration of the vow ends before 30 days because he didn't make the vow more than 30 days. Or it didn't end, but the hit nidra, but it was mata the nidra. He was able to undo the vow. That's okay, and they could continue staying married. Then love, but if not, if it extends more than 30 days, he has to divorce her and give her ksuba because more than 30 days, the word already gets out, and she's disgraced that her husband is making a vow that she cannot have benefit from his estate, and therefore he has to divorce her and give her ksuba. Now, during those 30 days, so what she has to do is, since she's not going to have benefit from him, because he took a vow, so she should work and make money and provide for herself and eat that way. And let one of his friends provide her, and that's not considered as if he's an agent of the husband who took a vow, because the husband is not going to tell him to provide for her, rather he's just going to say it out loud, whoever gives to her is not going to lose. And that friend should provide for her, dvarm shi tzrich lahem, that things that she needs that are yes on my there, that's more than the money she's making. Im ein my sidam, speaking like all, if the money that she's making is not enough to cover all her bills. Now, Allah of doubt. That's if he took a vow that she should not have any benefit from it. Now, Allah of doubt is Hamadris Ishtar. Let's say he takes a vow on his wife. Shalei titim echad mikol ha-peres, that she shouldn't be able to taste one of any types of fruits. Where, in other words, what it really means is that he's making a prohibition that she should have any benefit from his estate if she tastes one of a certain type of fruit. Because if he tells her, I'm making forbidden on you that type of fruit, he hasn't said anything because a person cannot make someone else forbidden on fruits that's not his own. But it means to say, he said, if you're going to benefit from this fruit, you're forbidden to have benefit from my estate. So, but it's on a specific fruit. So again, we give a time until 30 days. Yes, okay, more than that, you're to be eating ksuba. Even though it's only on one fruit, he has to go ahead and give her a ksuba. Now, afil hadirish leitechel macharan, even if the vow was that she shouldn't eat something bad for her, afil hadirim emin shleochel eisem mimah, and even if he took the vow on something that she never ate in her life, yitzach alam yoyim, he has to divorce her after 30 days, beating ksuba, and he has to give her the ksuba. Now, let's say nadrihi, let's say she took the vow, shleitechel echad mekol ha-peres, she's not going to eat one of the types of fruits. Vikim lo hu es nidra, and he fulfilled that vow, which is if he hears and he doesn't protest, he's fulfilling that vow that she has to keep it. Let's say she took a vow that she's going to be a nazir. And he doesn't nullify it, which she's not able to partake of wine and its derivatives. So imratza shateshiv tachtav. Now, if she wants, now she took the vow. If she wants to stay married to him, and she won't eat those peres, she'll be a nazir. So teisha, she can stay married to him. But vim amar, but if he says, any right to be shenadrans, I don't want a wife that, a woman who takes vows, which she did, she's going to be a nazir, she's going to not be able to take those payers, then Yetzi Beit Ksuba, he has to go out and divorce her, but he has to give the Ksuba. Why? Why is it his fault? It's, she took the nether. Because he had the ability of nullifying the vow. And he willingly went and sustained that vow. So therefore, it's his obligation to go ahead and give the Ksuba, as the Gemara in Ksuba says, who knows an espabation now? Yeah, she bit on him, but you put your finger between her teeth. Who asked you to do that? And there, yeah, you could divorce her because she's an Adronis. But again, it's your fault because you're Mekayim it, and therefore, he has to go ahead and give her the Ksuba.